Well, good morning.
Good to see all of you here today, and I want to thank Kevin and the elders for asking me to come. It's been my privilege. I've really enjoyed meeting you, being around you. The fellowship's been great, and I pray God's richest blessing upon you as a congregation. And he didn't ask me to say this, but I'll go ahead and say it. Y'all got a good man in Kevin. And just a real dear brother and a great friend. Man loves the Lord. And you got a man who's sound in Scripture. And so treat him well, all right? And he'll serve you well, I'm sure. Before I begin my lesson, would you bow with me in a word of prayer this morning? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are good, Father. You're always good. And as we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, thanking you for the blessing of his sacrifice and your divine and eternal purposed will to send him, and the grace that we receive and the promise that we have of being with you forever, in his name, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this body of believers. Bless the leaders. Please be with Mary Lynn right now, Heavenly Father. Bless her, Kevin and the boys. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would allow her to recover and be with us and among us again. I thank you for your blessings, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to always be mindful of your will in our lives. Strengthen our faith. Help us in our walk. Be our refuge. And once again, thank you for your love. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I was in the sixth grade in Winfield, Louisiana. Just to let you know how long ago that was, I worked all week long doing my chores so Dad would give me a quarter. That's not today now. It was 1958. And the reason I worked so hard that week and got my 25 cents is I was going to be able to go down with a friend of mine to the movie theater. And we were going to see and watch the movie. It was actually, the movie was made in 1951 with Michael Rayner and Patricia Neal and Hugh Marlowe. It was the day the earth stood still. I couldn't wait to go see the movie. And of course, the plot was, and by the way, some of you are as young as I am and know that movie, where this alien comes out of the heavens and comes down to the earth, and he's telling the people on earth that you must live in peace and become a peaceable people, or we, the superior beings, the ones that are the gatekeepers of the universe, are going to destroy you. That you need to live in peace because you're a threat, supposedly, to other planets. And I was just fascinated with that movie. By the way, that movie cost me 10 cents. I bought a candy bar for a nickel and a root beer for 5 cents. That was a great day because I walked out of that movie not only having a ball and a good time with my friend, but I was rich. I still had a nickel in my pocket. That was a great times. God's blessed us all with wonderful times in our lives. But are you ready for this? God sent someone from heaven to come down here to teach us to have peace with God, with ourselves, and with our neighbors by creating a new type of person that would walk on this earth. You do understand that, don't you? And by the way, his name was Emmanuel, God with us, born of a virgin, Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh that walked among us. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? He wanted us to know. Jesus came down to let the world know God not only had a plan that he's been promising by his prophets, but I want to give you an idea of what that new person is like. I want you to know what God has in mind. For those persons that would be seated in the heavenly realm, though they would walk on this earth, you understand how significant that is? Just how mind-boggling that is, that God's going to come down. He came down to earth, offered his life for our sins to create a new person. You understand that? A new life, a new being, a new way. Now, he introduced it in a very interesting way, as he opened up the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who do thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they will be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Open your Bibles to the Beatitudes, please. And I want to talk to you about that new person that Jesus came to say that God was going to create. By the way, it's different than anything that was in the world. It was contrary to the notion of the world. It was contrary to the nature of man and selfish man. God sent Jesus not only to wash away your sins, not only to validate a relationship between you and Him by the sacrifice of Christ, but He came to change His creation for what He intended it to be. And in His grace, He works on each and every one of us, working us through that process. Because that day we're in heaven, obviously it'll be total and will be complete. But He's letting us experience what a Christ-like life is, what a godly life is, what He really intended for you and I. By the way, if you will let self get out of the way, if you will die to self, do you realize that you will actually begin to see the person that God intended for you to be when He allowed you in His providence to be created through procreation? Oh, you mean He came to do something marvelous out of this world to prepare us for the world He came from? New creatures, new beings that walk on the earth that are different than the rest, who don't succumb to the will of God or have faith in His Son Jesus. Yes, that's exactly what He did. You and I are different. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. What do you mean by faith in the Son of God? I believe that life. I believe what He showed me. I believe the direction He wants me to walk. And so I walk with Him and therefore have fellowship with Him. Do you understand that walking with Jesus secures fellowship with Jesus? Because it's a faith. You trust it. You want the change. You want to be different. You want to be like God intended you to be. By the way, every once in a while, something wonderful comes out of each and every one of you, because everybody here is unique. Paul to the Romans talked about all the different things that He allowed each of us to have and all, but we're unique. And God wants that uniqueness in this world, so people can see there's another way. There's a different way to live and to be. It changes lives. Are you ready for this? It changes destinies. You understand that? And so that was a neat movie, I thought, when I was a kid. But boy, when I read the Bible, there's not a fiction movie that can touch those science fiction movies that can touch what God has actually done in creating new, eternal, forever beings and shaping them and molding them in what He intended for them to be as His children. By the way, you ought to want that. You ought to want it so much that in your relationships, you're willing to change. Now watch how Jesus captivates this audience. Because they said, "Boy, He speaks as one of authority." Well, what do you mean, one of authority? Man, He's speaking of something we haven't heard of before. We haven't had it shaped like this, presented like this. Is this really how it's going to be? Are you ready for this? In the church it is. You and I are the people He describes here. Watch. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed is the man or the woman who empties themselves, saying, "I don't have the answers to life. I haven't worked all of this out. I got lots of difficulties. There's lots of problems. Things aren't working right. I need direction. I need help." And so they realize how bankrupt they are, because in all their efforts to try to create their little world the way they want it and shape it the way they want it. It hasn't worked. But you might still be in that trap. You trying to still fix your world. Well, what do you mean, Mike? Well, you try to fix everything in everybody's life in your little family so that they can be happy, and if they're happy, you're happy. And guess what? Nobody's ever happy because you can't fix it. But you wear yourself out trying to fix it, and then you feel upset and been out of shape and misused and abused or feel dumb for even trying. Only God can fix you. Only God can fix me. And only God fixes the faithful, the willing, the ones that submit. The ones that admit, you know, I need God, I need a refuge, I need someone to lead me, someone to direct me. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I promise you that getting into the kingdom of heaven, remaining in the kingdom of heaven, means that you're poor. By the way, you can use four O's there. You're bankrupt. And he's not talking about material possessions. He's talking about your spiritual wealth. Needed somebody to lead me. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to teach me. I need somebody to show me. So guess what God did? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here he came out of the heavens. He said, I'm from above, you're from below. And he showed me. In fact, his life exposed mine and how much I need him. By the way, if you don't let go of you and get over self, which is the main problem and problematic condition of humanity, is self, wanting to be in control, have the power, have it their way, carry out their will. If you don't let go of that and that person that you were, understand one thing. The second beatitude cannot happen. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn means to feel for other people, man. Now, if you don't empty yourself of you and all of your wants and your issues of control and whatever else it might be, and your desires and passions, you're not going to have a tendency to feel for anybody unless it benefits you. But he said, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Well, what do you mean comfort? If you actually begin to feel for other people, you know why it brings comfort? You realize this thing. I did die to me. I have died to me. I am putting myself aside. I am setting my will aside for the benefit of others. And that's why I'm feeling for others. And he made it clear that if I let go, I'll be able to feel for others. In feeling for others, I have this comfort of what? I let go of the old man. I'm not that person I was. I'm different. I'm more like Jesus. He felt for people. And by the way, there's no peace without letting go. Because do you realize that there is no peace in a life if you can't feel for those that are around you? That you can't feel their pain, their difficulty, their frustrations, their needs. You won't even look. If it's you, you're not looking. Only though you will look on those occasions that it benefits you and works out for you. And that is not a person who is poor in spirit. And it finally shows up. Ah, but look, he does it in a synthesis form. Here's the third step. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek is not a bad word. Meek is a word that comes from having a strength because you overcome. Circumstances haven't buried you or overwhelmed you. And you understand what's going on, so therefore you inherit the earth. What do you mean you inherit the earth? You own it. It doesn't own you. The material, you own it. It doesn't own you. Your happiness is not based upon your circumstance of what you have, what you don't have, what you can get or what you don't get. So it doesn't own you. Why? Because you let go of yourself. You surrendered to God. Now you started feeling for other people. So your circumstances weren't as important as they used to be, because now what's important? People are important. Your family's important. Your spouse is important. The body of Christ is important. Your neighbors who are living in a lost way, they become important. Well, you see this new person he's talking about. You say, I thought this morning was about understanding forgiveness. If you don't get through these Beatitudes with me, you won't understand what he said. Look what happens now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness? I thought righteousness was Jesus. He's the only one that was righteous. He is my righteousness. He's God's righteousness. So I thirst and hunger to be like the one whom God sent, who made things right between me and God. And I hunger to be like that. It's not about how much you have ascertained or understood about theological things and how well you do them in your performance. It's about what? Hungering and thirsting for the one who was righteous to be like him. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for watch, they will be filled. Who's the only one that can fill you? Ah, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. He's the only one that can fill the emptiness. He's the only one that can fill the heart. He's the only one that can give you hope and assurance of your salvation with God because of your walk of faith with him. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, if you haven't let go of yourself, you don't feel for other people. If you don't feel for other people, probably your circumstances really do have a tendency to control you. And it's not about living a life for Christ, so guess what? You're not a very merciful person. You're a person who demands, who commands, who requires, who pushes, who manipulates, who controls. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, do you see this new man that Jesus was talking about? That the apostles talk about? That Jesus tried to convey? See, that gets the world to listen. That gets the world to pay attention. Because we're not like them. We don't act like them. We don't respond like them. We don't do the things they do. We do the things that are made out of love. Because, you see, love doesn't demand, command, require, or need in return. It doesn't push. It doesn't shove. It doesn't take, but it gives. Jesus wasn't an alien, but he sure came down here to change things. He came down here to bring peace in your life. And by the way, if you won't accept the peace, it's eternal destruction. You do understand this is a life and death situation, don't you? That you walk with Jesus, you walk like Jesus, you practice that life, you surrender that life. You do understand it's life and death. Yeah, this is the real thing, though, and it's forever. I want to be forever free of the old man of sin. I want to be ever free of condemnation. I want to be free to walk with Jesus and enjoy that and have peace in my life and have a clear conscience because I've yielded this life over to Him. And so I treat everyone, watch, with mercy because I have been shown and you have been shown a great deal of mercy in your life. And I get an amen on that. That's a fact. But then he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, how am I? Now, pure in heart, by the way, is not somebody who never makes mistakes, never gets anything dirty. Pure in heart conveys the idea that you look at people the way God does. And you know how God looks at people. It's holy how He does. It's loving how He does. It's kind how He does. You're not going to be pure in heart if you haven't let go of yourself. To feel for others, to reject your circumstances as the means by which to be happy, and to seek that righteousness, that life of Christ, showing mercy. Guess what you won't do? You will not look at people like God does. But God wanted to create a people who looks at everybody like He did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So I become a giver. I become a lover. By the way, I become a forgiver. Oh, man. Have you forgiven him lately? I'm talking about your husband. Yeah, you don't know what how much forgiveness he needs. Have you forgiven her? You forgiven your children? Have you forgiven your parents, your grandparents, members of the body of Christ? Well, I'll tell you what, if you look at people the way God does, you're merciful because you want to walk like Jesus and you don't let the circumstances, as bad as they are, determine whether or not you're happy. because you feel for people. Why? You let go of the old man. Now, some of you this morning, when that invitation song is sung, you need to let go of that old man, that old woman that you have not let go of. You've held on for years, and you do it bits and pieces and parcel, and God's tried to struggle with you and change you, and you're fighting Him. You need to let it go and admit it. When your family member looks at you and says, well, you've always been that way, you might ought to just believe it and say, I've had enough. I'm bankrupt. Here I come, Lord. I really do need You. And I want to be the new person You intended me to be. How awesome. Don't you understand that we are in an eternal act, an eternal show, something special that came from heaven? And that's who we are. That's why He seated you and I in the heavenly places with much favor and grace. But then He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. By the way, if you've let go of you, you make peace. You make peace with your wife, your husband, with your friends. You don't hold grudges. You don't take resentments from the past and use them to have contempt for the other person. You're a peacemaker. And you purposely work at being a peacemaker. It's not by accident. It's not by osmosis. You have decided by faith to be like Jesus, to make peace and to heal. You don't take the life out of your family members. You don't destroy their emotions and inhibit their spirits. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. By the way, if you want to live this way, even your closest loved ones will persecute you. You say you're a Christian, but look what you did here. You don't let that overwhelm you. Because you see, you want to be that new person. You desire to be that new person. You want to be in a relationship with God. You wanted to let it all go. You want to be someone who is a peacemaker, who shows mercy. And by the way, you look at people in a way to give them a chance again. But that's what God does. God looks at you. How many chances has He given each and every one in this audience in your lifetime? By the way, I wouldn't keep pushing against it. If I was you, I'd surrender and let it continue to happen in the way God wants it to happen. He keeps trying to reach each and every one of us in our life and uses all kinds of situations from the Word of God, the things, the people that we're around, the circumstances, all just trying to get us to see. Don't you see what I said was true? And that I can liberate you from your sin, from your behavior, from your past, so you can live with Me forever. Now, you're going to have to ask yourself the question this morning, do I really believe that? Now, look over at chapter 6 and verse 14. I want to read two verses. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is a life and death statement. It is an either or. You understand that? If I forgive, I'm forgiven. If I don't, I don't. Now let me ask you a question. How am I going to even forgive, practice forgiveness, if I'm not that new person He talked about? I won't. And therefore, I won't be forgiven. You understand that? Yeah, there's some things to repent of, aren't there? There's some things to turn from. There's some things to change. There's some things to hand over. And by the way, if you're here today and you're breathing, it's not too late. Don't you let your pride, because you've lived for 60 years and all of a sudden you see something right now and you need to respond. You do it now. And by the way, if you can't forgive and you don't have the tendency to forgive, guess what hasn't taken place? You haven't let go. And you're not the new man or woman. It's time to repent, church. It's time to live. It's time to be like we're from another world, and we are. For it is the heavenly places He has seated us. And that's how we are to walk. God loves you. And He's done it all for one reason, to set you free of all that has plagued humanity since the beginning, self, that you might have peace, assurance, a clear conscience, and end up being a true lover of God. and lover of others, because you love yourself enough to love God and others. So when he stands to sing this invitation song, you can get up, brother. It's time to do it. Don't you turn away the invitation God's offering. He said, if you'll not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before your Father. By the way, your family knows that's men. Now you hear what I just said. That's family, and your family knows. If you'll not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father in heaven. It's checkup time, man. It's time to come to Jesus as we stand and sing.